We're going to read one verse together in unison this morning, a very familiar passage. Psalm 119, verse 165. Psalm 119, verse 165. Aren't you glad you're saved? Aren't you glad you're in church this morning? I hope you can say that when we're done. Amen. I want you to know I love you. I want you to know Jesus loves you. Psalm 119, verse 165. Let's read together in unison, shall we? Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Let's read one more time, shall we? Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray, dear God Almighty, that you'd bless this morning, speak to our hearts, dear Holy Spirit of God. Help us to understand the truth of this passage this morning. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. 2 weeks ago, I preached on Bible joy. I preached on rejoicing and being joyful and glad last week. Today is a third part, sort of, in this series of having joy. And this morning's sermon has to do with your attitude and your spirit. Almost exact same thing. Now, I promise you that I'm going to say some things this morning that are going to be very unpopular. I forewarn you that I'm going to say some things that may offend you deeply. There are some things that I may say that may get you very angry. But I promise you that I personally believe that this will be one of the most important sermons that you will ever hear in your entire life, ever. I very rarely say something like that along those lines, and if I do, it's usually at the end of a sermon or after I've preached it for about a week or two later. But this is no exaggeration, because I know the notes that I have in front of me and what I'm about to preach, what I prepared for the sermon. So here we go. Psalm 119, verse 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. There's 2 points and 1 conclusion. That's the entire sermon. I have 2 points and 1 conclusion. Point number one is great peace. Point number two is nothing shall offend them. The conclusion is that it hinges all on how much you love the King James Bible. Let me repeat that. I have 2 points in my sermon. Point number one is great peace. Point number two, nothing shall offend them. And the conclusion of the sermon is, it all depends on how much you love the Word of God, the King James Bible. The vast majority of God's people today are backslidden, rebellious, and disobedient to the very Word of God. As a direct result, they do not have peace, and they are very easily offended. Point number one. The lack of peace in their hearts is revealed by all the drugs and medications and liquor they consume to fill the void in their heart, since there is a lack of peace that passeth understanding. They gamble, they cheat, they steal, they fornicate, they commit adultery, they lie, they hate, they exaggerate, they're jealous, they're envious, they're angry because they lack peace in their hearts. They go into debt and spend and charge with no money to pay for things. They are addicted to pleasure and vacations and big houses and expensive cars because they lack peace in their hearts. They go from boyfriend to boyfriend and girlfriend to girlfriend. They go to marriage number two and marriage number three and marriage number four because they lack peace in their heart. They get plastic surgery and they go to tanning booths and they paint their faces and their fingernails and their toenails and dye their hair because they lack peace in their hearts. They are never satisfied. They are never content. They always want more worldly and earthly things but do not care about spiritual things and godly things. They always chase after new things but despise the old paths as clearly outlined in the Word of God. They always run with the rebellious crowd that hates old-fashioned preaching, and they prefer the sermons that are sugar-coated poisons that are contrary to King James Bible. People who lack peace cannot be by themselves. They want and need a crowd. They want and need a television set, a radio, a smartphone, an iPad, an iPod, or some other contraption that will connect them to this web where other spiders are hanging out. They lack peace in their heart. They may have the Prince of Peace, but nonetheless, they lack peace that only Jesus, the Prince of Peace, can give them. They need to hear voices and music and sounds. They are not satisfied with just reading or hearing the Word of God. They do not know what to do by themselves. They do not know what it is to pray by themselves hours on end. They run out of words in the first 60 seconds after they start talking to themselves because they lack peace. Point number one. Point number two is that they are easily offended. We're not talking about being sorrowful because the loss of a loved one or the concern of a backslidden believer is a good thing. There's nothing wrong with sorrow. As a matter of fact, Ecclesiastes and Corinthians say that sorrow is good for the heart. It is a necessary ingredient for the mature believer. If you are not concerned about others, and especially the salvation of others, then you have a cold heart, and I refer you back to point number one, because of a lack of peace in your heart. But point number two in this verse is being offended. And as I said earlier, we live in a country where the vast majority of people, including God's people, are very, very immature and are very easily offended at the littlest things, especially truth. People today cannot deal with truth. It offends them. It bothers them. It reveals to everyone exactly how shallow they are. The first step in anyone's life in progressing to maturity or even to salvation is acknowledging your sins, your errors, your faults, your mistakes. Psalm 51 verse 3 says, I acknowledge my transgressions. Jeremiah 3:13 says, only acknowledge thine iniquity. Jeremiah 14:20 says, we acknowledge, O Lord, our wickedness. Hosea 5:15 says, I will go, God saying, I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. 1 Corinthians 14:37 says, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. If you can't even acknowledge that the King James Bible is the Word of God, you are still in an immature state, ladies and gentlemen, wherever you're at. If you don't know what the Word of God is, you don't believe what God has written here, then you're still immature. You have not grown up. 2 Corinthians 1:13 says, we write none other things unto you than that, than what you read and acknowledge. And I trust ye shall acknowledge even to the end. So the first step in maturity is to acknowledge, the first step in salvation is to acknowledge that you're a sinner lost on your way to hell before you can even ask Jesus to save you. If you don't believe that you're a sinner on your way to hell and you can't even acknowledge that, you're not saved, literally. You're not a child of God. You're not born again, because in order to be born again, you have to acknowledge certain truths in the Word of God. Amen. The first step in everyone's life for either salvation or growth or maturity or knowledge or wisdom is to first acknowledge that you have sinned, that you have been wrong, that you have either done something or believed something that was contrary to Scripture, the Word of God, the King James Bible. And then to make it right, if you have sinned against someone or if you have hurt someone as a result of your sin, you need to first acknowledge that you are a liar or a thief, not just a sinner saved by grace. You need to admit and confess that you have sinned that particular sin in order to be right with others that you have sinned against. Granted, there are people who will never forgive you for whatever reason they decide or choose. But your first step in either salvation or growth in your Christian life is to first acknowledge your sins, your mistakes, your errors when you are confronted with them, and then ask for forgiveness for having committed that sin or believing that heresy. And ladies and gentlemen, that is a lifelong process after salvation, because I believe we sin every single day. You may think you learn more Bible truth, and you may think you learn more Bible knowledge as the years go on, but you will never grow in maturity. You will never grow in wisdom unless and until you're willing to put yourself in the uncomfortable position of listening to others that you have wronged or that you have been wrong concerning a biblical position or doctrine, or the fact that you have sinned against God and even others. The reason you are offended is because you do not love the King James Bible. Psalm 119, verse 165, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Ask forgiveness if it is a sin and if it is contrary to Scripture. Even if it's a stumbling block, Paul wrote in Corinthians. So, well, what if they want me to drink alcohol, pastor, or liquor, or commit treason, or support perversion? I'm not supposed to offend them. Well, I'm not going to apologize for sin. I will apologize for my sin, but I will not apologize if I do not go along with the sin of others or the sin of the world. My Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13 that charity rejoiceth not in iniquity. Everybody wants to quote 1 Corinthians 13, but they never want to quote that verse where it says charity rejoiceth not in iniquity. Your biggest problem in your life is you. Your biggest problem in your life is your attitude and your spirit. Once you tackle that, I don't care where you're at in your Christian life, you will be bounding by leaps and bounds in growing in your new Christian faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But until and unless you get a hold of your spirit and your attitude, you'll stay as immature as you are right now. You may learn more. You may hear more. But that does not mean you're going to be mature. Romans 12:3 says not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Romans 12:16 says be not wise in your own conceits. Romans 11:20 says be not high-minded. Romans 12:16 says, be not wise in your own conceits. Romans 12:3 says, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. I said, pastor, you just said that again. That's all right. I want you to hear it again. Amen. My Bible says not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. 1 Corinthians 4:7 says, what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Everything you have has come from God. Everything you have has been given to you by God. Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hast not received it? Instead of giving God the glory, why do you glory about it? Why don't you give God the glory and all the praise for everything that he's allowed, the fact that you're breathing? Amen. Whatever intelligence, whatever ability you have, it comes from God. But everybody wants to say how smart they are, how powerful they are, how strong they are, how wise they are, how knowledgeable they are. They're full of themselves. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15:10, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. Proverbs 16 says, pride goeth before destruction, and in a haughty spirit before a fall. The Bible says in verse number 19, better it is to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Proverbs 25:27 says, for men to search their own glory is not glory. Proverbs 26:12 says, seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? There is more hope of a fool than of him. Ecclesiastes 7:16 says, why shouldst thou destroy thyself? Micah 6:8 says, walk humbly with thy God. Paul writes in Galatians 6:3, for if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. If you read Matthew 15, verse 22, and Mark 7:26, you'll see that this Greek Canaanitish woman was begging Jesus for an answer to her prayer. And when Jesus didn't even respond to her, she kept begging. And when Jesus finally responded and called her a dog, she said, yea, Lord, even the dogs eat of the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And Jesus said, great is thy faith. She didn't quit, and she wasn't easily offended. And she got her prayer answered. The reason why God's people don't get their prayers answered is because they're offended at the preaching of the word of God. So how can you say that to me? You would have been offended at Jesus in Mark 7:26. You would have been offended at Jesus in Matthew 15:22. And you would have walked away and said, how could he say something like that to me? Call me a dog. Pain and hurt are some of the most important ingredients in becoming a mature and stable Christian. Without being willing to endure physical pain and hurt feelings and hurt emotions, you will never be able to be what God wants you to be. And you will remain an immature believer for the rest of your life. Most everyone today wants a safe space where there is nothing. There is no safe space this morning, I promise you. There will be no safe space this morning. Everybody wants a safe space where there's nothing said or done that bothers the individual's selfishness and the worship of themselves. Most people are being told to rid themselves of any and all negative influences that bother them. Don't listen to critical thinking. Don't listen to people who are negative. The problem is that the negative influences most of them are talking about is truth, God, and the Word of God. This is exactly what all the government schools are teaching impressionable children today: to be proud, to boast, to be an egotist, to be full of themselves, to have self-esteem, take pride in their work, to love themselves instead of loving God and others. I want to remind you that God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. If you cannot figure out that a square peg does not go into a round hole, then you have mental issues that you're not willing to acknowledge. Those are just basic facts of life. If you are unwilling to acknowledge that life is going to be full of disappointments, heartaches, burdens, problems, difficulties, and pitfalls, then someone has lied to you, and you are going to be a spoiled brat for the rest of your life until you acknowledge truth. If you do not learn how to deal with the most difficult problems in your life and difficult people that bother you, people that irritate you, people that upset you, people that you do not like, then you will stay away from the only thing that will help you to mature: difficult people and difficult situations. What you're saying to everyone is that your God is not able to give you wisdom and strength and grace to meet and overcome every obstacle in your life. What you are telling everyone that your God is not able to make every stumbling block a stepping stone as you progress and grow in your Christian faith. And you're so easily offended because you heard somebody say something, you saw something that just rattled you to the core, and you were upset about it because you're still immature because you don't love the Word of God enough. I cannot control anyone else in life. I cannot control people. I cannot control events. But I can control John Kalidas. I can control where I go. I can control what I think. I can control what I do, how I act, how I think, how I reason, what I decide. I can decide to live for God or live for myself. I can decide to love God or love myself. I can decide to obey the Word of God or disobey the Word of God. I can decide to love the Word of God or I can love myself. My Bible says in 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves. Paul says, examine yourself. In 1 Corinthians 11:31 says, if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. We don't want to cross-examine our own selves. Some of you need to go to court somewhere and see a civil case or a criminal case and just sit there and watch a cross-examination, because that's what life is made up of. If you're going to be anything worth anything, if you can sit through a cross-examination where the enemy rips you apart, then you'll mature at that point. But if you only want to take softball questions and hit them out of the park, say, wow, wasn't that a great answer? I want to see cross-examination. Why can someone else survive and you struggle to hang on? Because you choose not to. Why can someone else be the way God wants them to be and you are not? Because you choose not to. Why can someone else obey God's word and you do not? Because you choose to disobey. Why is someone else's spirit strong and yours not? Why is someone else's faith strong and yours not? Why is someone else not easily offended and hurt and you're easily offended and hurt? If I decided to call you fat, would you be offended this morning? America is the most obese, fattest country in the world. And America is the most easily offended country in the world. If I said that you were lazy or a druggie or unreliable or not dependable or moody, you're up and down, what kind of student are you? Are you listening in class? Are you following the teacher's instructions? It's the same sermon everybody else hears. How are you listening? All people have strengths and all people have weaknesses. People do not want to think rationally today. Most people are emotionally driven today. They want to feel good. They want to be touchy-feeling. 17 students and teachers were killed this last week in a school shooting. And everybody across the nation is traumatized. And everybody just about on the news media wants to change our way of life because 17 people were shot and killed last week in a school. The only answer for that is, why don't you homeschool your children? Of course, you can't do that because dad and mom love money and they both have careers and leave their kids at a government school to be brainwashed. They can't even think. They can't even think logically. They want to drop off their kids at a government school and have them brainwashed for 17 years. Why don't you teach them at home? Of course, you can't think that way. You can't think the Bible way because it's your spirit and your attitude that forbids you from thinking outside the box of American socialist society. 17 people were killed and the whole nation's upset this week. Well, in 2017, over 633,000 people died of heart disease. Were you upset about that? In 2017, over 595,000 people died of cancer. Were you upset about that? In 2017, over 155,000 people died of chronic lower respiratory disease. Were you upset about that? Last year, 146,000 plus people died in accidents, unintentional injuries. Last year, over 140,000 people died of stroke. Last year, over 110,000 people died of Alzheimer's disease. Last year, over 79,000 people died of diabetes. Last year, over 57,000 died of influenza and pneumonia. Last year alone, over almost 50,000 people died of kidney disease. Last year alone, over 44,000 people died of suicide. Last year alone, over 40,000 died of septicemia. Last year alone, over 40,000 people died of chronic liver disease and cirrhosis. Were you upset about those numbers? But 17 people died in a school shooting, and the whole country's in a mess because they want you to be in a mess on purpose, because Americans are too easily offended and too immature to understand truth. In 2016, 893,000 babies were murdered before they saw the day of light. Does that bother you? In 2015, 914,000 babies were murdered before they were born. In 2014, 926,000 plus babies were murdered before they were born. In 2011, 1.06 million babies were murdered before they were born. In 2008, 1.21 million babies were murdered. In 2005, 1.2 million. Pastor, we need more immigrants because we don't have enough people to do the work. 60 million babies have been butchered since 1973 that could have done the work. But an average of 13,000 people die a year from guns. But 62% of them are from suicides. So they're taking one thing to rattle everybody's cage in America because God's people don't even know the truth. And they're easily swayed and persuaded just by emotion. The average year, 600 women are killed by intimate partners with a gun. Mass shootings, there were 372 mass shootings in the United States in 2015. This is the latest statistics that I have. Killing 475 people and wounding 1,870. I'm just telling you the statistics. Look, I don't want anybody dying from any reason. And I'm not minimizing the 17 people that died or were killed. But what about the 60 million babies that were murdered before they were born because of sin? What about all the other hundreds of thousands of deaths that happen every single year in America that could have been prevented? In 2014, the highest percentage of babies murdered were in Washington, D.C., with 38% of them. New York State, 33%, and New Jersey, 30%. In 2014, approximately 37% of all pregnancies in New York City ended in butchering the baby in the womb. In 2014, unmarried women accounted for 85.5% of all murdered babies in the womb. 2014, women in their 20s accounted for the majority of murdered babies and had the highest abortion rates. In 2014, adolescents under 15 years obtained 0.03% of all abortions. Women aged 15 to 19 years accounted for 10.4%. Women 20 to 24 year old were 32.2%. Women 25 to 29 were 26.7%. Women 30 to 34 were 17.1%. Women living with a partner to whom they were not married accounted for 25% of babies being murdered. In 2014, women who had not murdered a baby in the past accounted for 55.1% of all murdered babies. Women with one or two prior murder babies accounted for 36.3%, and women with three or more prior murder babies accounted for 8.6%. You wonder why our country has a seared conscience? You wonder why people are so far away from God? When you kill somebody purposely, it's only by the grace of God that you're still alive, and only by the grace of Almighty God that you're even right with God and you're in church house today. You wonder what's wrong with society? I'm reading the facts and the truth of America in the last 40, 50 years right here. And this is not the part that's going to be offensive to you yet. Black women were more than 3.5 times more likely to have murdered their baby than white women. Among white women, 10% of the expectant mothers murdered their babies. Among black women, 29% of expectant mothers murdered their babies. The murdered baby rate in non-metropolitan women is about half that of women who live in metropolitan counties. The murdered baby rate of women with Medicaid coverage is three times as high as that of other women. This is 2014 now. 30% of women who murdered their babies identified as Protestant and 24% as Catholic. Oh, you're a good Baptist, aren't you? Okay. In 2015, the state of Florida, as they do every year, recorded the reasons why every baby was murdered in the womb. There were 71,740 babies murdered in the womb in the state of Florida recorded. 0.001%, the baby resulted from an incestuous relationship. 0.065%, the woman's life was endangered by the baby. 0.085%, the woman was raped. 0.288%, the woman's physical health was threatened by the baby. 0.294%, the woman's psychological health was threatened by the baby. 0.666%, there was a serious fetal abnormality. 6.268%, the woman killed her baby for social or economic reasons. 92.33%, no reason for murdering the baby in a womb. What's wrong with America, ladies and gentlemen? What's wrong? God, why? What's wrong with America? I know it's the Democrats, isn't it? It's the socialists, isn't it? It's the sodomite crowd, isn't it? It's the communists, isn't it? Yeah, okay. In 2014, a survey of 1,209 women from nine different abortion clinics across the country who murdered their baby gave the reason why they murdered their baby. Less than 0.5% were victims of rape. 3% had fetal health problems. 4% had physical problems. 4% would interfere with education or career. 7% not mature enough to raise a child. So they just kill the baby, you know, because of your sin, because of your fornicating. You know, just kill the baby. As if it's not going to affect you and others for the rest of the life. 8% don't want to be a single mother. 19% done having children. 23% can't afford a baby. 25% not ready for a child. 6% other. Where's the outcry for the approximately 60 million babies that have been butchered in America since 1973, ladies and gentlemen? I'm not against people weeping and having sorrow for 17 people shot and killed. Don't misunderstand me. I feel for them. I've been praying for them. I've been praying for the family members. I have been. But you're telling me the left-wing socialists and God-hating public are outraged that 17 people were killed in a school shooting this past week and neglect the 60 million babies that have been murdered in the last 50-some years? I don't believe it. They're actors and actresses straight out of Hollywood on the television news persuading people to be more concerned about guns than killing babies before they're born. So what should we do? Let's outlaw automatic weapons. Let's outlaw then semi-automatic weapons. And let's then outlaw handguns. And then after that, let's outlaw all high-powered rifles and then shotguns and then slingshots and all other weapons and knives and hammers. Let's outlaw them all because we want everybody to be safe. So the socialist mentality that hate God, hate the word of God, that laugh and ridicule and mock preachers of the word of God, they don't want you to arm yourself and defend yourself against the savages that roam the streets and enter homes and rape and murder defenseless people. It's okay for all the sports stars to have enough money to hire bodyguards that carry guns, and all these politicians who are against guns, they have bodyguards that carry guns, but they don't want the individual citizen to go and buy a gun to protect themselves in their own home. They have enough money to send their kids to private school, but they don't want to give you the opportunity to send your kids to either a private school, Christian school, or homeschool your children. How about stocks? If the stocks go down, I think we ought to pass a law to make sure that no one loses money in the stock market, because that would hurt them. Should we pass laws that no one commits suicide? There's already laws in the books for that, and I think that's stupid. We're going to convict the person who has already committed suicide when they're dead? Can you bring that corpse into the courtroom, please? We're going to charge them with committing suicide. So Americans pass stupid laws because Americans are stupid. If someone is so insecure and so empty inside that there is no law or a government that can stop someone who wants to harm themselves with any kind of instrument. When someone has a void, what they need is Jesus. Amen. The problem is when a person allows drugs, alcohol, emotional distress, jealousy, envy, financial ruin, sorrow, those things make up the mind and the heart that make you forget about God, and they create a void, and the devil uses those things to ruin and destroy your testimony in your life. Short-term pain for long-term good is a good thing. Humility is a good thing. Honesty is a good thing. Truth is a good thing. Facts is a good thing. Character is a good thing. But we're easily offended and hurt because the Bible says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. But we want to be a busybody. We have a wounded spirit. So we want to stick our nose in everybody else's business. We want to be nosy. We don't want to stay in our own area of personal responsibility. Most people do not handle the areas that God has already given to them, but they want to stick their nose in somebody else's business that God has not given to them. So people are upset when the preacher says the word sodomite or queer or faggot or homo or pervert. Why does that bother you? Why does that bother you? Does the First Amendment bother you? You want to outlaw the First Amendment by passing hate laws and making this kind of stuff hate speech. You wait till I'm done. My Bible says in Proverbs 18:14, a wounded spirit, who can bear? 2 Corinthians 10:5-6 says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Paul said in Acts 26, I think myself happy. I said last week or the week before, you're not happy because you decide not to be happy. You're just miserable because you decide that. Psalm 109 says, my heart is wounded. David wrote that. Psalm 106, verse 33, the Bible says they provoked his spirit, talking about Moses. Psalm 142, verse number 3, my spirit was overwhelmed, David said. Proverbs 7:26, the Bible says, a strange woman, she hath cast down many wounded. You better watch yourself, because you have a wounded spirit and you have a bad attitude, the devil's going to get you and he's going to have a way with you, man, to destroy your life and your testimony for the rest of your life. You better start growing up and maturing. My Bible says in Proverbs 15:13, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. Proverbs 16:18, pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 16:32, he that is slow in anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. Proverbs 17:22 says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. Proverbs 20:27, the spirit of a man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Proverbs 25:28, he that hath no rule over his own spirit, that's your attitude. I'm not saying you don't have burdens. I'm not saying you don't have heartaches. I'm not saying you don't have problems. But you better get a hold of a King James Bible and start reading it, amen? You better get in your prayer closet and ask God for wisdom, who's promised to give you wisdom, according to James 1:5. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Iron sharpeneth iron, the Bible says, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Proverbs 27:17. Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together except they be agreed? I can tell a lot about you about who you hang around with. Yeah, buddy. Nehemiah 9:30, this is a picture of America right here. Yet many years didst thou forbear them and testifiest against them by thy spirit in thy prophets. Yet would they not give ear, therefore gavest thou them into the hand of the people of the lands. And I'm telling you, you mark this down, you don't want to hear it, but America is over, she's doomed, kaput. It's just a matter of time that you're going to see all these illegal aliens, Muslim Arabs, all these other people that hate America, flood America, take over the country that you proclaim that you love, but you love your money and your pleasure more than you love God and the Word of God. Because if you love God, you go soul winning. If you love God, you'd be more faithful. So the people that you hate are going to take over this once great nation. Nehemiah 9:30, the spirit in thy prophets. That's why they can't stand old-fashioned Baptist preaching. They hate preaching. They despise preaching. Job 10:12 says, thy visitation hath preserved my spirit. Job 20 verse 3 says, the spirit of my understanding causeth me to answer. Job 24 says, the soul of the wounded spirit, the wounded crieth out. They are of those that rebel against the light. They know not the ways thereof, not abide in the paths thereof. Job 32 verse 8, there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. Job 32 says, I am full of matter. The spirit within me constraineth me. Psalm 32 verse number 2 says, in whose spirit there is no guile. Hey, do you have clean hands or is there blood on your hands? You live in a life of treachery, lying, hypocrisy? Psalm 51:10 says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. You read the verse after it. Then will I teach transgressors thy way. Then will sinners be converted to you, to thee. My Bible says in Psalm 51, verse 17, the sacrifice of God or a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Psalm 77 says, my spirit was overwhelmed. My spirit made diligent search. Ecclesiastes 7 says, the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. Ecclesiastes 10:4 says, if the spirit of the ruler rise up against thee, leave not thy place, for yielding pacifieth great offenses. You can pass any kind of law you want. I'm not shutting up. I'm not changing the sermons. I'm not changing my message. I'm still reading and preaching from the King James Bible. You can fill up the jail cells if you want. You can pass all kinds of laws, regulations you want. You can close a building down. You can sell it at an auction. You can imprison the preachers. But I'm telling you, we'll have a prison ministry in jail, amen? And we'll get people saved and they'll hear the gospel preached, amen? Amen. We're so afraid of everybody. Afraid of the president, afraid of the governor, afraid of the mayor, afraid of the council, afraid of our neighbors, afraid of everybody instead of fearing God. Afraid of our wife, afraid of our husband, afraid of our children, afraid of our parents, afraid of our neighbors, afraid of our co-workers. Great peace have they which love thy law, nothing shall offend them. My Bible says in Ezekiel 13 to those foolish, charismatic Pentecostal pastors and reverends, my Bible says, woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. But Daniel had an excellent spirit in Daniel chapter number 5. In Daniel chapter number 6, Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, the worldly people. He was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Daniel chapter number 7, verse 15, I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit. Why don't you sorrow? Why don't you weep for souls? And God will mature you. Haggai 1:14, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. You know what you need? You need to get your spirit right. You need to get your attitude right and love God and not be offended at anything or anything anybody has done or said in your life. You will never live a victorious life until you get this down. Never. You can go from church to church, husband to husband, wife to wife, girlfriend to girlfriend, boyfriend to boyfriend. You'll never mature, never. Because somebody's going to tick you off, and you're going to be an immature brat for the rest of your life. My Bible says in Acts 18, Apollos was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, not the Holy Spirit, his Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. I don't care how little you know, you can still be mature. You can still love God and love the Word of God. Paul writes in Romans 1:9, God is my witness, whom I serve with my Spirit in the gospel of his Son. Romans 7:6, Paul writes, we should serve in newness of spirit. Romans 12:11, being fervent in spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2 says, what man knoweth the things of man save the spirit of man which is in him? You don't want to know the truth because your spirit's not right with God. Your soul's not right. Your attitude's not right. Your heart's not right. Your mind's not right. 1 Corinthians chapter number 4, some are puffed up, the Bible says. Mary said in Luke chapter number 1, my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. In Luke chapter number 9, when the disciples wanted to bring fire down and kill the unbelievers, Jesus said to his disciples, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. Jesus said in John 4, the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, capital S, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit, small s, and in truth. The reason why you can't worship God, because you refuse to worship God. You decide not to worship God. God's available. We're the ones that have limited God. I remember, this is years ago. I'm talking about, it's got to be 20-some years ago now. And by the way, I have all the abortion statistics here, and I have all the gun statistics right here. You want to read them? There's about 40, 50 pages right. I apologize. About 50, 60 pages right here. But they're too boring. You'd rather look at the comics. You'd rather read the cartoons. You'd rather watch some hellish person on some newscast that hates God, hates the Bible, and wants to turn this country against God and guns. As if guns are the problem in America. I remember my kids were going to a religious school. They were playing basketball. Because I wanted my kids to be physical active. And I remember going to the first basketball game. I can't remember who was playing. My oldest, middle, young. I can't remember now. It's been years. And I'm sitting on the sidelines. I'm sitting in the stands with everybody else. And I see a bad call that the ref makes. And I say it. I said, what are you talking about? Look, if you're from Philadelphia and you've been to an Eagles Eagles game, you've been to a Phillies fan, you've been to a Phillies game, a 76ers used to be a professional team in Philadelphia. But you've been to a 76ers game? You've been to a Flyers game? You don't sit there quiet. You just don't. When I go to a game, I don't sit there quiet. I'm sorry, I just don't. So I'm screaming top of my lungs during this basketball game at a so-called Christian school. The principal comes up to me. Nice guy, real nice guy. He comes up to me and says, Christians are not allowed to do that.
You're not allowed to criticize. And I started laughing. I said, that's funny. The next play or whatever happened, I said, I started again. He says, no, I'm serious. And he was. They had a rule at the school. I didn't know this. They had a rule at the school. You're not allowed to criticize the calls that the ref makes, or some bad play. You're supposed to sit there and smile and just say, okay. I'm telling you, that was new for me. Look, I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I didn't know. I thought, oh, when you go to a game, you're part of the crowd. You're supposed to cheer your side on, you know? Some hockey fan this last week got kicked out of the stadium because he called the black person a racial name. Webster's Dictionary, that the definition is the female of the canine kind, as of the dog, wolf, and fox. It's a name of reproach for a woman. Webster's 1828 dictionary says that's what the definition of a bitch is. Now, I don't go around using the word bitch. I have used it on occasion, says someone is acting like a bitch. But I don't generally go around calling people bitches. But that's a definition in a dictionary. The Oxford Living Dictionary says, the word nigger has been used as a strongly negative term of contempt for a black person since at least the 18th century. And by the way, I don't use the word. If my kids know, my wife knows. Now, I may have used it before I got saved. I just don't remember, I'm quite honest with you. I've never heard my parents ever use the word. I've never called anybody that. But why are you offended if somebody calls you that? Do you not love the Word of God enough? This is in a dictionary, the Oxford Living Dictionary. Today it remains one of the most racially offensive words in the language. They can use it amongst themselves, but, you know, God forbid a white person says that to a black person. What if somebody's 90% white and 10% black? Are they allowed to use it? Let's say that person is 80% white and 20% black. Are they allowed to use it? Let's say somebody is 70% white and 30% black. Are they allowed to use it? Let's say they're 60% white and 40% black. Are they allowed to use it? Let's say they're 50-50 mulatto. How stupid are we? Because we're so easily offended, we're passing stupid laws. The reason we have the First Amendment is because our forefathers were being burned at the stake by the Pope, who didn't like this kind of preaching. The Pope is the Antichrist on planet Earth. Mark it down. If you don't learn anything else from this church, remember, the Pope is the Antichrist. Amen. That's why they were burning our forefathers at the stake. And it's the same Pope that wants to outlaw this kind of preaching and call it hate speech. I don't think you ought to go around calling people a bitch or a nigger. I really don't believe you ought to do that. For testimony's sake. I don't. But I'm never going to be afraid of using words that are in the dictionary, let alone in common usage, ladies and gentlemen. We're just starting. This is the living dictionary. This is the updated socialist dictionary now. Today it remains one of the most racially offensive words in the language. Also referred to as the N-word. You know, that's what they say. Nigger is sometimes used by black people in reference to other black people in a neutral manner. In somewhat the same way that queer has been adopted by some gay and lesbian people as a term of self-reference, acceptable only when used by those within the community. So you're going to live your life based on a dictionary, not on the Word of God. Here's the Oxford, the Oxford Dictionary. I had to erase 14 pages of references to get it down to 3 pages of their definition of nigger. If I listed all the names that they equate that word to, it would take me another 20 to 30 minutes from this pulpit to tell you all the names. Number one, let's start. By the way, there is a country called Niger. N-I-G-E-R. There is a country called Nigeria. Should we not say Niger or Nigeria, where black people have originally originated from the land of Africa? And I'm not saying to be mean about this. I'm not saying to be offensive. But if somebody called me a stupid Greek, why should I be offended at that? If somebody called you a dumb Polack, why would you be offended at that? If somebody called you a slang Italian name, why would you be offended at that? I'll tell you why, because you don't love the Word of God. And it bothers you, and you want to pass a law for them not to say a word because you're so offended. You're so pure. You're so holy that it bothers you. Well, how about a missionary who goes across the world to some third world country in Africa or South America where they're dressing naked? You think he ought to tell everybody, hey, get dressed before I come there? So it bothers you how people live next door. I don't even give a flip what somebody does next door to my house. As long as they come over the border to my property, they can do anything they want on their property. Why does it bother you that somebody is not living right? Somebody is doing something and saying something. Do you remember Jesus Christ when they mocked him and ridiculed him and hit him and spit on him? My Bible said he didn't even open his mouth. He didn't even open his lips. He didn't criticize him at all. He went as a lamb dumb to the slaughter to die for the sins of mankind. Hey, why don't you be like Jesus and close your mouth and stop acting like you're so holy and self-righteous and so pious all the time? And say, you know, I want you to know Jesus loves you. Amen. And point him to Jesus, amen? Amen. Dictionary right here. Here it is. Right here. God's people are so immature today. Today, God's people are so thin-skinned. And by the way, the one woman I said that you're acting like a bitch had murdered her baby, by the way. And was so offended and hurt and started crying. I can't believe you said that. Can you imagine somebody who murdered her baby being upset that the pastor said you're acting like a bitch? Can you imagine that? Why don't you get right with God? Amen. Why don't you decide right now, hey, maybe you haven't murdered your baby. There's still mercy for you. Maybe you have committed a sin that has been egregious against God. God's got mercy for you. If you're alive and breathing, God's got mercy for you. Why don't you come down to an invitation, get your life right, get your heart right, get your mind right, and ask God for mercy and forgiveness to save your soul from hell and get your life on track for Jesus Christ and do something for God instead of sitting there being all pious. Oh, I'm so, you hurt me. You ever realize these people can't sit down and have a calm conversation? They can't sit down across a table and say, let's talk about what the Bible says. Oh, I don't want to talk about that. Well, why not? Well, are you saved? Are you a child of God? If I were to bring out a Bible verse, the Bible says in the book of so-and-so, chapter so-and-so, verse so-and-so, why would that offend you if you claim to be born again?
Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. If I came up to you and I said, you're one of the ugliest people I ever saw in my life, would you laugh at that? Why can't you laugh at yourself? When somebody criticizes you, why can't you say, you know what, you're right, or just laugh at it? Why do you get mad at them? Because you don't love the Word of God enough. You want to have an argument. You want to fight with them. We have road rage. You know why we have road rage? Because there's no peace inside. Oh, I can't believe they did that to me. I can't. Oh, they gave me their one-digit IQ. I can't believe they did. Oh, now it's a fight. Now we're going to go to business right now. We're going to have a fight now. We're going to shoot them up. He said something about my boyfriend. He said something about my girlfriend. Oh, they said something about this person. Oh, they did this to me. Why don't you get alone and start reading the Bible and get right with God? Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. So if I said you're overweight and you need to lose some weight, why do you get mad at that? Why don't you say, preacher, you're right. Please pray for me. There have been times people point out some things in my life, and they were right. It's uncomfortable when you have to agree with them and say, you know what? You're right. I apologize. I'm sorry. I'll try not to do that again. What's wrong with that? Why are you just too full of yourself and every little thing bothers you and offends you? I'll tell you, because you don't love the King James Bible enough. Did you read it this morning? Did you read it yesterday?
Did you read it Friday? Did you read it Thursday? Or are you on the bandwagon and say, yeah, let's outlaw all these guns? 320 million people in America. Last count, there's like 270 million guns in America. How are you going to get 270 million guns away from 320 million people to have a bloody revolution? That's how.
So you think guns are the problem? Of course,
not killing 60 million babies over the last 50-some years, that's not a problem, is it? 40-some years.
Of course, all these other statistics, and I didn't even get to the gun statistics today. Do you know how many women are buying guns to protect themselves? Yeah. You want to sit there like a sitting duck, letting some intruder come inside and rape and murder you, your wife, your kids? And you want to act all pious and just pray them out? Oh, you believe you're so right with God that when they come through the door, you're going to pray in Jesus' name. You're going to heal them. You're going to lay hands on them and say, stop in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're as stupid as the vast majority of people in America are. Jesus said, go buy a sword. All through the Bible, he tells us to buy weapon and defend ourselves. All through the Bible. Of course, if you've been listening to the Pope and anti-Christian reverends that don't preach the word of God, you're going to be a sitting duck and you'll be the next statistic that everybody's going to cry about. Oh, let's outlaw knives and hammers because they kill people with those things. And let's outlaw cars because, you know, the car that fell in Manhattan took that truck and killed people on the sidewalk. We ought to outlaw cars and these fastest, the biggest cars we ought to get rid of because the fastest cars, they kill more people. We ought to get rid of them. Why come we don't outlaw the fastest cars? At one clip, like 50,000 people were dying a year in automobile accidents because of alcohol. Well, why don't we get rid of alcohol and cars? But you want to get rid of guns that have killed a lot, that have been used to kill a lot less people than any other thing just about? Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Some of us need to get back to God and start reading the Word of God. And don't care what anybody else says, don't care what anybody else thinks, and be more concerned with what God says in the Bible. Amen. Are you saved this morning? You know, people don't, it's going to become a hate law for hate speech that if you tell somebody that they're a sinner on the way to hell, they're going to arrest you one day. Because, oh, I can't believe you're telling my kids that we're going to go to hell when we die. We're going to pass a law to stop you from saying that. Because we're easily offended. I don't want my kids knowing that they're a sinner. I don't want my kids knowing they're going to die and go to hell. Well, why would Jesus come and die for you then if not to save you from hell and your children from hell and your family from hell? But we're so easily offended today because we hate God. We hate the Bible. We hate preaching the Word of God. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. I have the dictionary right up here. You want to read it this after we're done? Or are you too pious and holy to read the definitions in the Webster's New International Dictionary? This is about a 100-year-old dictionary. Again, I don't go around saying these words because I want to win people to Jesus Christ. But I'm not offended if I hear some cuss word or swear word or somebody says something that they said about somebody. Why should it bother you? God said a lot of mean things about Greeks in the Bible. He says some nasty things about Greeks in the Bible. Should I be mad at God because of what he said about Greeks being lazy and slow bellies? I don't think so, because God's right and the Greeks are wrong. I don't get mad at God. God said a lot of bad things in the Bible concerning black people and the Jews. So a lot of black people and Jews are turning away from God because of what God said in the Bible. If I were you, I'd humble yourself and not be offended at what God said. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Let's all stand.